السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 191 to 197 of Surah Ali Imran today. We'll begin with the word meanings, inshallah, starting with ayah number 191. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alladhina, those who, yadhkuruna, they do dhikr. Dhikr is the root word here, dhal kaf ra, and that means to mention or to remember. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So it means they mention or they remember Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qiyaman, while standing, wa, and qu'udan, while sitting, wa, and ala, on junubihim, their sides. Junub means sides, him, theirs. Wa and yatafakkaruna, they reflect. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. Una ending makes this word plural. And tafakkar means to reflect, to ponder or think about. So wa yatafakkaruna, and they think about or they ponder. Fi, in or about. Khalqi, creation. As-samawati, this is plural for the word sama'i, which means sky. So as-samawati, the skies or the heavens, and it also means the heights. Okay, wal ard, wa and al, the ard, earth. Rabbana, rabba means lord or sustainer. Na means ours. Ma, not. Khalaqata, khalaqa is the root word, and that means to create. And khalaqa ta, ta in the end means you. So khalaqata, you created. Hada, this. Batila, falsely or in vain. Subhanaka, subhan means glory or free of all defects. Ka, you. So subhanaka, you can say your glory or you are free of all defects. Faqina, fa, so, qina, save us. Adab, punishment. An-nar, of the hellfire. Rabbana, rab means lord. Na, ours. Innaka, inna means indeed. And ka means you. Man, whoever. Tudkhila, this comes from the word dakhala, which means to enter. Tudkhila, tu in the beginning means you. So tudkhila, you cause to enter, or you make to enter, you admit. An-nara, the hellfire. Faqad, fa, then, qad, in fact. Akhzaytahu, this word comes from the word khizyun. Khizyun means humiliation or disgrace. So akhzaita, you disgraced or you humiliated. The ta in the end means you, and then the ta after the word akhzai. So ta means you, and who, him. So akhzaitahu, you humiliated him. Wa and ma, not. Lidhalimina, li, for. Al, the. Zalimin, zalim is somebody who does zulm or injustice. An ina ending just makes this word plural. So للظالمين, for those who do injustice or for those who do wrong. من, from, أنصار, any helpers. ربنا, رب means Lord, نا, ours, إننا, إنا, indeed, نا, we, سمعنا. سمع means to hear. So سمعنا, we heard, مناديا. This word comes from the word نداء, which means a call. Okay, so مناديا becomes a noun, starting with the ميم, and it means the one who calls. Okay, one who calls, or a caller. So ربنا, our Lord, إننا, indeed, we سمعنا, we heard, مناديا, a caller, ينادي, he calls. You in the beginning means he. So ينادي, he calls, للإيمان, لي, to, أل, the, إيمان, belief. أن, that, آمينو, you all believe. This is a command, and it's addressing a lot of people. It's plural, because it ends with waw, followed by the alif. So آمينو, you all believe, and this word comes from إيمان, which means to believe or have faith. بربكم, be in ربي, Lord, كم, yours. فآمنا, فا, so, آمنا. آمنا, believed, and نا in the end means we. So فآمنا, so we believed. ربنا, our Lord. فاغفر لنا, فا in the beginning means so, and غفر means to forgive. So فاغفر, so forgive, لنا, لا, for, نا, us, ذنوبنا. ذنوب is plural for the word ذنب, which means a sin. So ذنوب, sins, نا, ours, و, and, كفر, remove, أنا, from us. أن means from, and نا means us. This is a compound word. So أنا, from us, سيئاتنا. سيئتن is a sin, something that is evil or ugly. Okay, so سيئات is plural for that word, and it means sins or evils, na, ours. و, and, توفنا. وفا means to recall. دا means you, so توفا, you make to die, na, us, or you fully recall us. مع, with, ال, the, أبرار, ones who are righteous. Okay, مع الأبرار, with the righteous ones. ربنا, our Lord, وآتنا, و, and, آتي, give, us, ما, whatever, وآتنا. وآت means you promise. تتا in the end means you, نا, us. على, upon, رسلك. رسل means messengers. ك means yours. و, and, لا, do not. تخزينا. This word comes from خز again, which means humiliation. تو in the beginning means you. So تخزي, you disgrace, or you humiliate. نا, us, يوم, day, القيامة, the standing before Allah. إنك, indeed, ك means you. لا, do not. تخليفو, you go against. The تو in the beginning means you. So تخليفو, you break, or you go against. الميعاد, the promise, or the appointed time. فاستجابة, فا, the prefix here means so. استجابة, he responded positively. لهم, la means to, hum them. ربهم, رب means Lord, or master, sustainer. Hum, theirs. أني, أنا means indeed, and then e in the end, the ya means I. So أني, indeed, I. لا, do not. أضيو, U means I. So أضيو, I allow to be wasted or lost. عمل, work. Or deed, amilin, of one who works. And you can also say a worker for amil. Min kom. Min means from. Kom, all of you. Min from. Vekarin, a female. Vekarin, a male. Or untha, a female. So, minkum, from all of you, min from, dhakarin, a male, or untha, a female. And please know if any of you are following along on the website, on the translation of this juz, that there is a mistake in these words, in the translation. Dhakarin says male, and untha says Vekarin says female and Untha says male, then it should be the other way around. So please make that correction. It should be Min from Vekarin, a male, or Untha, a female. Okay? Bad hukum, bad, some, kum, all of you, Min from bad, some others. Falladina, fa, so, alladina, those who, hajaru, they did hijra, means hijra means to migrate. Okay, so hajaru, and this is a verb, it's in the third person and it's plural, we know, because it ends in vowel followed by the alif. So hajaru, they did hijra, they migrated. Wa ukhriju, wa, and kharaja means to expel. Ukhriju is passive because it begins with the Dhamma, and we know it's plural because it ends with the waw followed by the alif. So, va'ukhriju, and they were expelled, or they were driven out. Min, from, diarihim. Diar is plural for the word dar, which means home. So, diar means homes, him, theirs. Va'udhu, and they were hurt. That is the root word, and that means hurt. Okay, and uzu is passive and it's plural, we know, because it ends in waw, sukun, followed by the alif. And it's third person, so wa uzu, and they were hurt or they were made to suffer. Fi in sabili. Sabil means path or way, and ya in the end means my. So sabili, my path, wa, and qatalu, they fought. This word ends in a waw sukun followed by alif, and it's a verb, so we know this is plural. So, waqatalu, and they fought, wa, and kutilu, they were killed. Now, this is basically the same word, but it's passive, and it means that they were killed or martyred. La ukaffiranna. La in the beginning means surely, and kaffir means to remove, to cover. U means I, and the nun mushaddad in the end just adds double emphasis to the word. Okay, so la in the beginning and nun mushaddad in the end means surely, and then in the end definitely. Okay, so la ukaffiranna, surely I will definitely remove or cover. Anhum, an, from, hum, them. Sayyiatihim, sayyiat, sins, or evil deeds, him, theirs. Wala udkhilannahum, again, double emphasis in this word. La, in the beginning, the short lam fatha, and then the nun mushaddad later on. So, wa and la, surely. Udkhilanna, alif in the beginning means I, and dakhala means to enter. So udkhilanna, I definitely enter or admit hum, them. So wala udkhilannahum, and surely I will definitely admit them. Jannatin, gardens or paradise. This word comes from the word jinn, okay, which means something that is hidden, something we cannot see. And the word jannah comes from that same word, okay, because it's something we cannot see, it's hidden from us. So jannat is plural for that, and it means gardens or paradise. Tajri, flows. Min, from, tahtiha, tahti, underneath. Ha, it. Al anhar, al means that, and anhar is plural for the word nahar, which means a river. Anhar, rivers. So, al-anhar, the rivers, thawaban, a reward min from عندي near Allahi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa and Allahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عندهُ عنده near who him husnu is best الثواب of the reward لا should not يغرنك it definitely deceive the nun mushaddad adds emphasis to this word ga means you so la yagurannaka should not it definitely deceive you taqallubu turning about or movement alladhina of those who kafaru they disbelieved fi in albilad the lands or the countries and this is plural for the word balad and balad means a city or land bilad is plural for that So, al-bilad, the lands. Mataun, temporary enjoyment or benefit. Qalil, very little. Thumma, then. Ma'wahum. Ma'wa means abode or place of refuge. Hum, theirs. Jahannam is hell. Wa and bi'sa, how bad or how evil. Al-mihad, the resting place. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat now, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, we started the last ruku of Surah Ali Imran last week, and we found out that it's sunnah to recite these ayat when waking up for the hajjat. In ayah number 190, we learned that we should think about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we see in the universe, about the creation of the skies and the earth, and the alternation of the night and day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are signs for people with intellect. There are signs in these things. Once Umar bin Abdulaziz started to cry while he was sitting with a group of people. People asked why he was crying and he said, I thought about this world, about its desires and temptations, and I concluded, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةِ الْمَوْتِ So, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Every soul shall taste death. And then, I gave up all hopes and desires. So, the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises, He says that they are the ones with intellect, the ones with understanding. They have certain qualities. He tells us how they are next, starting with ayah number 191. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while standing, sitting, and lying on their sides. One meaning of this is that they praise Allah. They stand up to praise Allah. Okay, so yadhkurun allaha might mean praying salah. So they either stand up to pray salah, and if they can't stand and do it, they sit down and pray salah. And if they can't even sit and pray salah, they lie down and pray. The second thing this means is that they always do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because people can only be in one of these three positions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. They can either be standing, sitting, or lying down. So they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these positions, which means that they remember Him all the time, subhanAllah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And he advised Muslims to do the same, to mention Allah all the time, to the point where people start calling you Majnoon, meaning the one who is mad. Okay? They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time because they love Him so much. They enjoy speaking about Him. And because they ponder over His signs around them in the universe, they never forget about Him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Nothing the son of Adam says is beneficial to him, except when he enjoins goodness, forbids evil, and does dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So these three things benefit him. And then he said, "Shouldn't I tell you something that would be your best deed before your Lord? And it would be a means of elevating your ranks the most. And it would be better than giving gold and silver in sadaqah, or charity. And better than fighting in the way of Allah, or to be martyred in His way." So the Sahaba asked, "Why not?" Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered them. He said, "The dhikr of Allah." So that's better in elevating a person's ranks than all these things that are mentioned. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, "Nothing can be better for protection against the punishment than the dhikr of Allah." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also warned that if people get together and they don't mention Allah at all, they will regret that gathering. So it's a must to do the dhikr of Allah whenever we get together with people. And we don't have to sit there and formally talk about it. Like, you can do it casually. For example, like when you are starting to eat, just say Bismillah. Say something about Allah when you're talking to someone. Or say Alhamdulillah when you get up. Or read the dua for leaving a gathering, the kafaratul majlis. These are all forms of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important to do it one way or another. Those with understanding never forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remember Him while sitting, while standing, first of all, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and then while they're sitting or lying down. A lot of people think that they can't do dhikr of Allah when they're lying down. But we can do it. Even thinking about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to recognize Him as the creator is worship of our minds. Okay? Our brain worships Allah too. And we use our mouths to do the dhikr of Allah. And that is worship of the tongue. We don't have to be in a state of wudu to do it. Or we don't have to be wearing clothing that is appropriate for salah in order to do dhikr. So we can do dhikr while lying down too. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And we read this before too, in ayah number 190. So it's repeated here. And they meditate on the creation of the heavens and the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those with understanding reflect in the creation of the heavens and the earth. And what happens as a result of this meditation? They automatically cry out, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Our Lord, You have not created this in vain. Everything has a purpose. If we think about our fingernails, they're there for a reason. Everything was created for a purpose, whether we understand it or not. And after thinking about things, people who stop and reflect say, Subhanaka, glory to You. O Allah, You are free of all defects, free of all flaws and weaknesses. Only Allah is free of all defects. Only He is Subhan. And that is why scholars say that we should not name our kids Subhan. The people who reflect cry out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, saying Subhanaka, Glory to you. You have not created anything in vain, O Allah. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So save us from the punishment of the fire. Why do they say this after glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What makes them remember the punishment of the fire all of a sudden? People with intellect ask to be protected against the punishment of the fire. Because when they ponder about the creation, they realize that nothing was created in vain. So they think, we must have been created for a reason too, with a purpose. And if I don't do what I was created to do, what will happen? Of course, our result will be clear after death. But even by reflecting in the creation, people can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they think, I will have to suffer the consequences of not doing what I was supposed to do if I fail, and I'll be punished for not doing what I was meant to do. They realize this after thinking about everything. So they say, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So save us from the punishment of the fire. Everything in the universe is doing what it was created to do. All the living and non-living things. I have been sent with a purpose too. You did not create anything in vain, O Allah. And those people are terrified at the thought of what would happen if they don't fulfill the purpose of their creation. And that's why they ask for protection from the punishment of the fire. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ. O our Lord, indeed those whom you cast into the fire will be in eternal shame. Nobody can be disgraced in a worse way than having to enter the fire. That is why scholars say that we should never think that it's okay if we have to enter the fire for a little bit, as long as we are taken out eventually. It is not okay, because it will not be bearable, and it will be extremely humiliating. Imagine people slipping off the bridge and falling into the fire underneath, or people being dragged into Jahannam. That would be so shameful. And people are so afraid of being humiliated before others in this life. So they are so careful when it comes to the way they dress or how they portray themselves in front of people. But the people who have understanding and they reflect on the signs of Allah in the universe are only worried about the hereafter. Because the punishment of the fire will be an extreme disgrace. We learn from Surah Mudathir, what will make you know exactly what Jahannam is? It doesn't spare, meaning it doesn't spare any sinner, nor does it leave. And that means it doesn't leave anything unburnt. So people won't be living nor dead. It will burn people completely. Allahu Akbar. Astaghfirullah Rabbi. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. O Allah, save us from the humiliation of the hereafter. We don't want to be dragged to Jahannam. People try to hide their sins here in life because they're ashamed of others finding out about their faults or weaknesses. But we should worry about what will happen on the Day of Judgment. Imagine how embarrassing it will be when all of creation is present and our sins are exposed. Our sins are displayed before everyone. In this life, even if people find out about something bad we do, it's not everyone who's going to find out. The humiliation of the hereafter is much worse, and it's forever. And even if we end up there for a little bit, it's extremely humiliating. Here, in this life, even if someone goes to jail for a few days, they feel like they've lost their honor. People don't respect them. even if they're not imprisoned for life. So imagine someone who would have been to Jahannam for some time. Astaghfirullah. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. And there will be no helpers for such wrongdoers. Nobody will help anyone there. People will not be able to get out of the hellfire themselves, and others will not be able to take them out either. So those who reflect on the creation remind themselves all these things. And next they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ. Our Lord, we have heard someone calling to the true faith, saying, آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. Believe in your Lord, so we believe. So they say that we've heard someone calling to Islam, and that person was saying, believe in your Lord, so we believe. So the first munadi means someone that calls, someone who calls to Islam. The first munadi is the Quran, and the second, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he called people towards Allah too. And the third munadi are those who come after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Till the Day of Judgment, whoever warns people or calls people to Islam, and that can be the scholars or knowledgeable people, they say, Aminu bi Rabbikum. They call to Islam. So those who reflect say, we heard a caller calling to Islam. This can be about the Sahaba who said this, because they heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam call people to Deen. Or it can be people who came later and they heard scholars tell them what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said. They can also mean the Quran, because the Quran calls them to Islam too. So in response to any caller who tells us to believe in Allah, we are supposed to say, فَآمَنَّا. So we have believed. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we heard the caller call to Islam and we accepted. We did not present excuses. We believed. Next, رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا. O our Lord, forgive us our sins. We have believed, so forgive our sins. It's okay to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us or accept our dua because of the good deeds we do, because of any particular good deed that we have in mind that we've done. Like we can say, oh Allah, if you like the good deed I did, please answer my prayers. Likewise, people can request Allah to forgive them because of their iman, because of their belief. So they say, we have believed, forgive our sins, O Allah, because we've believed. We read these ayat also, right? And this means that we have also heard the caller call to Islam, and we have listened to him because we have believed. So we can say the same thing. رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Our Lord, forgive us our sins. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. And remove our evil deeds from us. The word su, that سَيِّئَات is the plural of, means something that is evil, something ugly. So we ask Allah to remove these ugly, filthy sins from us. These sins that are sticking to us. We ask for the evil deeds to be removed from us, to make them so distant that we don't even see them. Sometimes we really want to give up bad deeds, and we want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to stop doing those bad things, because we are not able to stop on our own. So we ask Him to help us to remove those sins from us. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. And make us die with the righteous. The first thing in this ayah they say is فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. It's not just something we should say just once a day. We have to make this dua very often. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was free of sins, but he used to ask forgiveness 70 to 100 times every day. We are so sinful, but we still don't seek forgiveness that often, the way we should, from the heart. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought forgiveness so often, even though he did not even sin. And when we learn how the pious people used to seek forgiveness, how they used to repent, we should increase the amount of tawbah we do, the repentance we do. We should seek forgiveness more often, because this is one of the qualities of the righteous people, that they repent very often. According to hadith, if anyone wants to be pleased with their book of deeds on the day of judgment, they should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness very often. So we should make this a habit. Even if we can't consciously do it all the time, we can at least keep saying it. Okay, and when we're saying something constantly, it does come to mind. Okay, we can say something like, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ. This is from Surah Mu'minun, meaning, O Lord, forgive and have mercy. It is very easy to say, simple, and we can say it all the time. And if we do that, the chance of us saying it at a time of acceptance increases. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua, we can be forgiven for our sins, even though we're so sinful and make mistakes all the time. Only if Allah has mercy on us, we can be forgiven. So the people of understanding say, فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. And we should get used to saying, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ. Once we realize how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and how insignificant we are, how unimportant we are, and think about how many times we have been negligent in obeying Him, when He is the Master, He is Subhan, and that we should not have disobeyed Him even for a second, then we feel bad, and we are burdened by our sins. When that happens, we should stand before our Lord and ask for forgiveness, and we should think, what have I done? O Allah, make me die with the righteous people. When people spend time in this life with righteous or pious people, when they're in their company, they want to die with them as well. And no matter how sinful someone is, just being around the pious people benefits that person. So even if we're not pious, we should try to spend time with pious people, because we will definitely benefit from their company. And maybe Allah will forgive some of our sins for just trying, for wanting to be like those pious people. SubhanAllah, even Yusuf alayhi salam, the great prophet, he made dua, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, meaning, O Allah, join me with the righteous people. That shows us that we definitely need to make these du'as, if prophets made du'as like that. If we don't like religious people in this life, and prefer those who just follow their desires and live a free life, then obviously we'll end up with those kind of people in the hereafter. But we don't want to end up like them. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically guiding us with what du'as we should make. Okay? And we should make du'a to be among the righteous people, because we will be with those that we love. So if we like to be with the religious people and try to spend time with them in life, we will be granted their companionship in the hereafter too, inshallah. But then, we want to be with them in the hereafter, right? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us their companionship. And those who spend a lot of time with the disobedient people develop love for them. And then they want to be with them in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join them with them. Musa alayhi salam was one of the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he made dua, "Oh Allah, make me as close to Bayt al-Maqdis as possible. Even if it's as close as a stone would end up if thrown from there. Even if I can't reach it, at least make me near to it." Scholars say that he made this dua because there were graves of the prophets, the martyrs, and the saints there. So Musa alayhi salam wanted to be near them, near their graves. Like we learn about Umar radiallahu anhu, how he really wanted to be buried close to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the people who love the righteous people in this life want to die with them, and they want to be buried close to them, and they want to be with them on the Day of Judgment too. And people die in the state in which they spend their lives. So if we want good people around us when we die, we should spend time with them in life, with those who are pious and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Our Rabb, grant us what you have promised through your messengers and save us from the shame on the Day of Judgment. As we covered before, the humiliation on the Day of Judgment will be much worse than any type of disgrace in this life. Imagine our parents, our siblings, relatives, friends, and everyone else that we know, or even people that we don't know. Everyone will be there, and we will be humiliated before them. Here we get embarrassed even if we slip and fall in front of people. Imagine how much embarrassment we will face when everything we did will be exposed before all. Everything we did when we were alone or around people, and everything we thought about and we said. All our deeds will be displayed before all. It will be really embarrassing. So the people of understanding ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not humiliate them on the Day of Judgment. They ask for what Allah promised through His messengers. And that means the blessings of Jannah. Because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised through His messengers. If we apply this to the Muhajireen, Muslims who migrated to Medina with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it means whatever rewards Allah promised those who migrate in His way and follow the right path. So they were asking to be granted those rewards that they found out about through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Indeed, you never break your promise. Now, is there really a need for them to say this to Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go against His promises. Allah knows this, and they know as well. So why are they saying this? It's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to be reminded of this. Na'udhu billah. Why they say it? There are three answers to why. The first is that we have to be extremely humble when we make dua. And even when we know we are going to get something, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant us something, we should still ask Allah for it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought forgiveness, even though all his past and upcoming sins and faults had been forgiven already. There was no need for him to cry and repent. So we have to make dua even when we know that Allah is going to grant us what we are asking for. We should still ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the righteous believers Jannah, and He has not told us their names. He only reveals the names of the Ashra Mubashra, meaning the 10 Sahaba who were promised Jannah. But we don't know which of the normal Muslims will be admitted to Jannah. So the people with intellects, the people who ponder on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mean, oh Allah, we don't know if we are on that list or not. We don't know if we have what it takes to be among those whom you promised Jannah. So we ask you, O Allah, to grant us what you have promised us through your messengers. Include us among them, even though we don't deserve to be. We make dua to be among those people. And the third reason why they say that you don't go against your promise is because they are saying, oh Allah, you have promised to make the Muslims victorious. We don't know when it will happen, but allow us to experience victory against the oppressors. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Indeed, you will not go against your promise. We are certain, we're sure that it will happen. But enable us to see the Muslims defeat the enemies of Islam. So those are the three ways, the three reasons for why they say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. And up to here, we have learned five du'as that the righteous people make. The people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says have understanding. They are in the last two ayat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. So their Lord answered their prayers. It doesn't say that He will answer their prayers or that He will think about answering their prayers. He has already answered their du'as. And he says, أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنثَى. Indeed, I will not let the good deed of any worker among you, whether a male or a female, be wasted. He does not let their reward go to waste. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. In the pre-Islamic times, women were not treated fairly, and they were not really valued. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that there will be no discrimination based on gender when it comes to the reward for good deeds, or the accounting of good deeds, or the hereafter. It's the same for men and women. The work they have been assigned to do is different, but the reward is similar. Men are rewarded greatly for jihad, or fighting in the way of Allah. And women are rewarded greatly for bearing the pain of delivering a baby. Men are granted the reward for praying Salah in the masjid. But women get the reward for praying Salah at home. So the fields of work are different for each, but the reward is the same for both. In the times before Islam, people believed that women were just created to serve men. And they were not even sure that women had souls. People even questioned that. Or that they were even human. Astaghfirullah. We're lucky to be alive now and not in the pre-Islamic times, the times of ignorance, when they didn't even treat women like human beings. They thought men were better just because they were men. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that men are superior. He tells people that both men and women can do as many good deeds as they want to be granted the reward they seek. Many women do a lot more good deeds than the men around them, and they have a higher level of iman, and they do more good things for Islam than men. So we should never think that we could have done more if we had been men. Okay, just focus on what we can do to get to the higher levels instead of what we can't do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned men the work they're supposed to do according to their strength, according to their ability to fight and defend and protect. And they can easily walk or get to the masjid. So they've been guided to pray Salah there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created women to be delicate with strong emotions. And He has assigned them other responsibilities. They have the great responsibility of educating society. Women are rewarded for carrying their baby for 9 months, then nursing that baby, delivering it, and raising that child according to Islam. That is a great responsibility. Men can never get those rewards. So we should focus on the work we were meant to do, to seek that reward, instead of trying to compete with men in their fields of work. If we were to pray tahajjud, the reward of praying 2 rakat would be the same for a man and a woman. And it's the same with fasting. Their reward is the same, whether a man fasts or a woman fasts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reward men and women differently for the same work. That's how it is with all good deeds, whether it's going for hajj, paying zakat, or helping others. They are rewarded equally. But many women start complaining about being female, as if they are deprived, na'udhu billah, just because they're women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned women different tasks according to their form and emotions. Men have different responsibilities according to theirs. So anyone who wants to work for greater ranks in Jannah can do that. Women will not be treated like second-class citizens in Jannah. They can try and get to higher ranks there, just like men can. So they should work on doing more good instead of complaining. Men and women get the same reward for doing good deeds. Any good deeds, whether it's memorizing the Quran or serving Islam, whatever they do. So they should do the best they can. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so clear here. مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. From men or women. Umm Salima radiallahu anhu asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I haven't heard women mentioned about hijrat or migration, even though all the orders for men in the Quran apply to women as well, except for a few. Because we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says kum. Whenever He commands something in the Quran, most of the times it says kum with those orders. And kum means all of you, and that includes women. This ayah was revealed then when Umm Salama asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about hijrat. Okay, and men and women have been mentioned separately here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدُ. Some of you from some others. This means that every woman needs a father in order to be born. And every man needs a mother to be born. He is delivered by his mom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the purpose of creation the same for both. So you are the offspring of one another. Next, we are given a list of things that people do to earn ranks near Allah. The steps are mentioned here. Because when people make sacrifices for Islam and they migrate for deen and they work to serve Islam, they have to leave a lot of things. At times, they're not able to earn as much for their living. Or they may have to leave their homes because of the difficulties they face for being Muslim. When others see people go through those difficulties, they feel sorry for them, as if those people have failed in life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disagrees with how people think. Okay? And He says, فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي. So those who had to leave their homes or were expelled from there, and those who suffered persecution for my sake, this means that they migrated for the sake of Allah. And for the sake of Allah does not mean when a woman migrates after marriage, or when people migrate to go to a certain university or get an education from a different country or for business or work, it means people who move from one country to another because it was not possible for them to practice deen where they lived. That is migration in the way of Allah. So they left their country for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who migrated in the way of Allah, and secondly, besides hijrat from one place to another, hijrat means to leave everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. So that person who does that is considered to be a muhajir also. Okay, so anyone who stops disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done hijrat. Hijr means to leave or to shift. So they have left disobedience of Allah. They have migrated from it. We all have the opportunity to do this all the time, even if we don't have to migrate to a different place for living. Imagine when we have two options. The first involves something that Allah has forbidden, and the second is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has approved of. It's hard for us to stay away from what He has forbidden at times, because we enjoy it and we feel like doing it. But we leave it because Allah has forbidden it. When we do that, that's also hijrat. If we can't migrate from one place to another for deen, we can at least act like a muhajir by leaving sins. We can stop doing many things like lying or gossiping, not being properly covered, or not earning money in lawful ways. When we stop doing all these things and all the other sins we may be involved in, this is a kind of hijrat. وَأُخْرِجُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ And they were driven out of their homes. Why were they driven out of their homes? Just because they were Muslim. That is the reason why others were angry with them. Because they believed in Allah. So those who were expelled from their land for the sake of Allah will have great ranks also. And that includes refugees that we hear about nowadays. Those who are living in refugee camps because they were driven out of their homes just for believing in Allah alone. وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي And they were harmed in my way. They were persecuted because they believed in Allah alone. There are so many people who are suffering in this world just because they're Muslim and they believe in Allah alone. They haven't wronged anyone, but their only fault is that they're Muslim. This is what happened with people before too. This isn't something that's just happening now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Buruj, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ And they, meaning the wrongdoers, resented them for no other reason other than belief in Allah alone. That is the reason they're being physically tortured and they're dealing with verbal abuse. If they left deen, everyone would be fine with them. So they were expelled from their homes and they suffered persecution. وَقَاتَلُوا And they fought in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُتِلُوا And they were killed when they fought in the way of Allah. They even gave up their lives in the way of Allah. And that is the greatest sacrifice and the most difficult. So the things covered in this ayah tell us different ways people put up with difficulties in the way of Allah. And they're listed from the easier sacrifices people make to the greatest ones. So we started with migrating in the way of Allah, when people leave at their will. The next is that they were expelled from their homes, which is very painful because they were forced to leave when they did not want to. They were put on airplanes and sent off to new lands, to new countries. Or that they were persecuted, or they fought in battles for Allah, or they were killed. These are all different levels of the sacrifices they made. But there's no need to feel sorry for people who make those sacrifices in that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَأُكَفِّرُنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. Surely I will definitely forgive them their sins. They used to make dua for their sins to be forgiven, for their sins to be removed from them. So Allah will remove their sins. وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. And surely I will definitely admit them into gardens beneath which rivers flow. These jannat are for those who sacrificed in the way of Allah. ثَوَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. A prize from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He rewards them, even though the life they had was given by Him anyway. And so was all the wealth they had. So if they sacrificed their lives or their wealth or left their country in the way of Allah, they haven't done much at all. He had given them all these things anyway. Even if we spent our whole lives in the way of Allah, we would not have done much because He gave us that life. If our eyes are getting tired from studying His verses, or our mouths are tired of talking about these ayat, we're not doing anything special or doing anyone else a favor, because all these things are blessings from Allah anyway. Our eyes, our voices, our time, strength, our life, everything. If we don't use all these things in His way and we use them in other ways instead, we're basically wasting them. And if we use them in His way, we are not doing anything special. Nothing great about it. He's the one who gave us all these blessings anyway. So they all belong to Him. He has entrusted us with these things. So we should use this time in His way. Even if someone were to spend every second in His way, they would not have done anything great. And even if anyone leaves all their desires and lives their life according to Allah's rules, they still can't repay Allah for those blessings. So why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that they're rewarded for what they did when it's all His anyway? This means that Allah values the sacrifices people make. Everything they do is valued. He is shakur. He's all appreciative. He values all their efforts. Otherwise, no matter how much anyone tries, it can never be enough in exchange for what Allah has given them. Because what He gives them is infinite. What we do here comes to an end. Even if we don't live our lives according to the rules of Allah, we're all going to die anyway. So we should obey Him before our bodies turn to dust. So the blessings He grants cannot be compared to what people do. The reward is so much greater than their effort, but their efforts are valued so much. And a reward is normally supposed to be equal to the work people do. But when it comes to Allah, He grants us a great reward for the little things we do. Because the reward is Jannah, and that's because Allah is so merciful to people. He is all appreciative. People work according to their strength, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards according to His majesty. Otherwise, if people were rewarded by exact calculation, they would not be able to achieve Jannah or anything even close to it. So we should never hesitate in giving anything in His way. It's not a loss. It's a very profitable trade when we do anything for Him. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ. And Allah holds the finest prize. SubhanAllah. Sometimes we are saddened to see how the Muslims suffer so much and the disbelievers are enjoying their lives and how they have been granted so many blessings. They're so successful in life too. Why? Many times Muslims see others achieving so much more when they're struggling and they wonder why when they are Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَغُرُّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Do not be deceived by the free movement of the disbelievers in this land. Don't be impressed by their success, their wealth, their enjoyment, and their ways. And don't be overwhelmed by it all. Mata'un qaleel. Their enjoyment is brief. All that they enjoy is very little benefit. It's all temporary. So don't let it worry you, and don't despair thinking that you're facing problems when they're enjoying themselves, living their lives freely. What they have is temporary. So the hardships the Muslims go through should not make us depressed. Everything in this dunya is temporary. And everything the disbelievers have here, which is very little compared to the hereafter, ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ, then their ultimate home shall be hell. Everything they have is temporary. There's no need to grieve over everything they have that the Muslims don't. This life is a prison to the believers, and it's like a paradise for the disbelievers. They get their reward here in dunya, so there's nothing left for them in the hereafter. But we tend to forget about these things, and we start thinking that others have achieved so much and Muslims haven't. There's no need to think that way. Highlight these two ayat if you can, and memorize them if possible. They are a beautiful reminder. لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد متاع قليل ثم مأواهم جهنم وبئس المهاد, and an evil refuge. Even if they get all of dunya here, they have not accomplished anything. They will end up in Jahannam forever afterwards. So they are at a great loss. Don't feel bad when you see them living in comfort, when the Muslims are forced to migrate or they're being killed for being Muslim. We have to absorb these ayat well and remember them so we don't despair or lose hope. Remember that the success and enjoyment the disbelievers experience now is all temporary. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma munzil alkitab sari alhisab اهزم الاحزاب اللهم اهزمهم وزلزلهم امين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.